Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Moving right along in the 8 o'clock hour here on 96.5 The Fan. Shout out to Taylor. Big T. Taylor, the winner of Booth Creek Wagyu, Casey's Best Steaks, now with two locations, 95th and Nolan, 135th and Metcalf. Don't forget, 8:45, your chance to become another qualifier as one of the five, and then one of you will be selected to receive a $500 gift card to Hy-Vee.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For Father's Day, boy, could that do some help?
Could it?
Yeah,
$500 to spend at Hy-Vee is awesome.
Yeah, you just give that to your dad on Father's Day.
Yeah, Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Go over to his house at like 8 a.m. Like, Happy Father's Day, Dad. Just out on a run. Thought I'd knock out some steps early. Fair, give you your card. Oh, what's this? $500 to Hy-Vee. Two people benefit because he's gonna go to Hy-Vee and spend all that money.
Yes. That's right. Get you something good.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll get into more Father's Day stuff as we get closer. But we talked about this on the other side about pushing your stars. Can you just start there? Because when it comes to figuring out who has the bigger problem with marketing their sport, baseball or football, baseball or NBA, you got to think it's the NBA.
Uh-huh.
But then you think about baseball, but you see that baseball's viewership is up. Whether you want to believe me or not, it is.
Uh-huh. Even ESPN, who's getting out of the baseball business, is sending out releases on how good the baseball ratings are this year.
They're up 22%.
A little bit of a stick it to Rob Manfred, who said ESPN wasn't a good partner, I guess, maybe.
And what's really interesting is that baseball is up, according to ESPN's viewership, 22%. And then... they are also up in a major percentage towards the younger demographic, the young teens to young adult area.
That's so like the big one. That's awesome, really. I didn't see that.
And what's great about this is the fact that because of the card industry. Baseball's card industry is huge. Football, baseball, you have a lot more options, or baseball, you have a lot more options to chase. Prospects, Roman Anthony, Jack Caglione, guys like that, Jackson Holliday. Next year, the number one card will be the MLB debut patch logo for Jack Caglione, and the next holiday kid that will be drafted by the Nationals, right?
Right.
Those will be the big ones. And in football, there's two. There's Cam Ward, Travis Hunter. Those are the two big cards everybody wants. Football, you don't need to sell that product to get kids involved. Kids are going to watch football no matter what, because dad, mom, uncle, all aunts, everybody's watching football.
And I do believe when I was a kid, obviously my dad had a big influence on me to be a baseball fan, but the baseball card industry when I was a kid was a big reason why. Right. Like, we've talked about it off the air. Like, back when we were kids, we knew everybody on every team, and that's because we were collecting cards at 5 cents a piece or whatever it was.
Correct.
But you knew who everybody was in baseball. And that's, it's not just helping the kids get back into the game. Mm-hmm. I've talked to people who work in baseball where the card industry is helping them do their job better.
Sure.
Because they're getting kind of a leg up on who are some of the bigger prospects that maybe they're not right. thinking about. And they go, oh, maybe we keep a second eye on this guy because he's big in the card industry. So it's helping throughout baseball. It is a great thing for baseball. The only thing that I wish it was better for was more affordable for people. Fair. Just to go buy those wax packs back in the day where you could collect those cards, you know?
Yeah, and you don't have to buy the ones that are, you know, sought out. Like, you don't have to go buy the Bowman Mega Box that's at the Target right over here for $54 like somebody did yesterday. But, I, you know, you chase for the card that's worth $54 and you get one every right. once in a while. But the NBA's problem is there's no push. Right. Like, you and I, we're watching. We have interests. We want to see what SGA can do. We want to see if Halliburton can be the heel. We want to see if one of these teams wins their first title ever.
Ever.
Where has that been said?
How come that's not being talked about?
And maybe more? It has and we missed it. Right. We've been busy. I've been from Omaha to St. Louis to the K to whatever else during the week. Or, you know, some people might, you know, not watch the NBA as much as others, and maybe you're dialed into it more than I am, and that's fine. But are they pushing that? Like, are they, because even though the NFL wouldn't have to do it, because people know more about the NFL team's history than they probably do NBA teams' histories. Like, imagine if the Bills were playing the Vikings. The number one story would be like, one of these teams is finally going to get
theirs. That's right. For 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, it would be the only one.
It would be the only story. Like, you're right. It really would
And in
be.
The yeah. NBA, you have the Thunder and you have the Pacers. And not once have I seen one team's finally going to put themselves, yep. right? Am I wrong with that, Mac?
No, they should have pushed that storyline way more. There's a bunch of storylines they could have yeah. pushed with this. But instead, all season, we've just been told that OKC is just really good, but we're not going to put them on national television. We're not right. going to push out Indiana, the fact that they were in the Eastern Conference Finals last season. We're not going to talk about the fact until last week, really, that Tyrese Halliburton hasn't missed a clutch shot but twice all season, including 82 games. Yeah, we're just going to act like, yeah, two small markets don't really bring in eyes. When there are star players, there's storylines here.
But go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but whose fault is that? I mean, we sit NBA. Here all the time and talk about, like, LeBron's blaming the media now.
Yeah,
which,
I agree.
Which is one of the most rich things ever. These guys never want to talk to the media, so bite me, LeBron. Okay, who? Seriously. Players in any sport, you go cover OTAs. Those guys scatter. There's nobody in the yeah. locker room. So how is the media? It's talking out of both sides of your mouth. The media needs to do a better job of telling our stories. Okay, where are you available in the locker room to get that done, to form the relationships that used to be had back in the day? I've got relationships back in the day because players and coaches allowed you to have those relationships. The sports don't allow you to really have those relationships anymore. They want to control the message. They want to control the content. And so for LeBron to sit out there and say, oh, the media is not doing a good enough job of telling our story. LeBron, when was the last time you sat down with a random media member from LA who has a talk show like we do or writes for the newspaper and just sat down with that person and told your story and gave that person the time of day? Media will tell your story if you allow them to have access to you. They don't allow themselves to have access to the media like it was back in the day. So LeBron, I mean, kick rocks on this one, King.
Well, LeBron might not be the best example. I think this is why a lot of people don't like LeBron, because he speaks about things that he probably shouldn't, because LeBron is
going to... Because he's wrong about this.
Kind of. LeBron just isn't the guy that should be saying this, because when LeBron retires, he will have an entire we already know it's coming. It's going to be called the kid from Akron. Like, it's already been said that it's going to happen. Like, he's like, when it's all said and done, the documentary will speak for everything that you have questions to that you're wanting to know.
As it should.
And yeah. that's the way he should market it. That's the way probably Maverick Carter's telling him to do it. That's why these people are being like, hey, when you're done, we'll put it out there and it'll be, people will watch it and people will hate watch it. And then some people will say, I'll never. But like, LeBron to say that, like, the media kid, like, the media is, you have the opportunity. I can follow every single thing that happens in the game on my cell phone, and that's been made present by the media. Uh-huh. Like, Twitter has the availability to go and see things in the locker room that, like, you only read about in your papers. The problem with the NBA is they have a clown running their organization in Adam Silver who doesn't understand how to push. Maybe instead of trying to go find the trophy fish in the gigantic pond and say, well, gosh, who's going to be the next Michael Jordan? Who's the next face of the league? Maybe find faces, and in that group of faces, you might find your face.
Oh, I mean, like baseball's doing right
instead
now?
Instead of trying, I don't know what, exactly. Like, you have a ton of options. Maybe one will rise to the top. Instead of trying to go nitpick just just one at a time and say, oh, it's this guy. Maybe be like, hey, there's De La Cruz, Bobby Witt, you know.
That's what I'm saying. Baseball's doing a good job with that.
And but I mean, like, are they? Because, I mean, like, I don't see it on TV.
But
I don't see that it's, you know, I mean, the cover of MLB The Show was De La Cruz, Skeens, and I forget who else, but it's not Judge, it's not Bobby, it's not these other guys, and maybe we're a little biased that we think Bobby Witt's that superstar outside of Kansas City, even though I think he is.
You know, he is,
but I think when you look at what this game can be in the NBA, the fact that they just, like, they just accept it for what it is. It's just like, hey, man, you should really get your, like, front yard, like, you know, you should get some, like, pest control out here. You got a lot of stuff going on. That's fine. I'll just mow it down. Well, it's going to grow back the same way.
Right.
Yeah, but it'll still be here. And I think that's the problem, is that, like, Adam Silver doesn't listen to what the people want. Major League Baseball is listening. Doesn't mean they're listening all the time. The NFL just puts their ear to the wall and says, all right, tell us.
Well, here's the thing, though, with the two different sports. I think baseball has figured it out, and I say that with a question mark, more than they have in the past. I think they're young stars in baseball right now, this generation, that those guys that you just named.
Mm-hmm.
Think of another generation where we've had this many stars recently. Like, it didn't happen in the early 2000s, really. It didn't happen in the mid-2000s. Now, you've got kids that are household names. You've got kids that are talking about Livy Dunn, you know, when Paul Skeens makes his major league debut. I think every sports fan knows who Paul Skeens is. I think every sports fan knows Bobby Witt, Aaron Judge, Ellie De La Cruz, Shohei Ohtani. That's a hell of a crew right there. And baseball is showing that their numbers are up. Now, we always say, how do you market the game? Well, if you're, I mean, it's so different for everybody. Like, how they market it to me is probably a different way than they market the game to you or to you or to somebody else. Like, I'm not a diehard NBA fan. So are they supposed to take ads out? And I'm just asking this question. Like, if you're the NBA, do you take ads out in NFL games and say, coming this winter, the NBA is back? Like, NBC, you've got the NBA back. I expect to be overloaded with NBA promos during the NFL this year.
Sure, they paid Michael Jordan $40 million.
I heard that was not a true figure, but okay. Who knows? But I think that's where you need to start. NBC needs to take advantage of their platform with Sunday Night Football and have commercials for the NBA and show the NBA. Go to where the people are. Right? Everybody's watching Sunday Night Football. You want to market that the NBA is going to be on NBC this year? You need to be running promos. Instead of running promos for murder, she wrote, you need to be running promos for coming this fall, coming this, you know, winter, the NBA returns to NBC. And then show highlights of all these guys and make it a spectacle like we do with the NFL. Give me FOMO.
And none of those highlights need to be LeBron James, exactly. Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving. Right. None of them.
None of them
Jason
need to be
Tatum,
those guys.
Jason Tatum, Jalen Brunson, SGA, Tyrese Halliburton. We have the guy, Cooper Flagg. Like, let's put these guys out there.
I don't want to say second-tier players, but give me the players out there that aren't for Bob Fesco, the household name guys. Yeah. I know LeBron. I know that all. You show me Cooper Flagg doing something. Show me, you know, Jalen Brunson doing something. You got to promote this. But it also goes back to, again, and I will die on this hill, it's Indianapolis versus Oklahoma City. If this is New York, we don't have these ratings. New York, L.A., and Major League Baseball set ratings records. You know, the greatest World Series rating in a generation, L.A. versus New York. Smallest NBA ratings in a generation, Indianapolis and Oklahoma City. Market size does matter. If the Knicks were playing in this thing, they'd have a huge number. Everybody would be paying attention. People want to see what's going on. They don't have that. How do they market it better? It starts by marketing it during the NFL. It really does.
I agree.
It really does. You have an opportunity now with that crossover, and NBC may get some baseball as well. So you may be promoting all of that during Sunday Night Football, and that's good for everybody. Use that NFL platform and bring everybody else up with those rights that you have. I hope NBC gets baseball so we do get all of that crossover during the NFL time. Sunday Night Football in America, you got NBA promos.
Yes.
During the game, you got it. And then they show a highlight, and then Collinsworth and Tariq are like, man, I can't wait to watch this guy. And you add into
Mike,
that, right?
Jalen Brunson.
Right. Like, but that's how you market it.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I agree that
you can market it during the NBA game. But if I'm not there watching that, you're missing the boat. You're marketing, you're selling, you know, I'm trying to think of an analogy. You know, you got the people at your party already. How do you get more people there? You got to go to where those people are. And that's the NFL. And NBC's got the perfect platform to help the NBA take it to the next level.
Well, yeah, I know we got to go, but I would say it's just not all about cities. I agree with you, Bob. No doubt market helps, but there are situations and examples where it's we've gotten good ratings with small cities. Orlando, Toronto, Oklahoma City in 2012, great ratings.
Who do they play?
The Miami Heat.
Miami.
LeBron James.
Yeah, that's big.
But Kevin Durant on Oklahoma City, Russell Westbrook, those guys were must-see TV.
They were.
Reggie Miller in Indiana, must-see.
Yeah. Yeah, let's take note during the football season how many times when the Chiefs are promoted when it's Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Not, it's the Chiefs and Mahomes next week. It'll be, it's Mahomes and Kelsey on Sunday Night Football with the Chiefs in town.
Mm-hmm. Great point.
And let's see. Maybe I just gave NBC an idea.
Mm-hmm. You better get,
maybe I didn't.
You better get your money's worth.
I better get my money's worth. But you hadn't heard it anywhere else. So if NBC starts marketing the NBA, my lawyers will be calling.
Down bad. That's what fans are. And you should be. Because you have no reason other than that. But don't give up all hope. We'll dive into what these Royals are on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Back morning with you as well. What better burrito? I'm serious. Breakfast, the like verde with like the rice, the beans, the pork, and the green sauce, or a like fajita burrito, like smothered in queso with like it looks
the
like
second the second one.
Okay.
Yeah, now the second one. I make a good green pork for the. Oh my God, Dusty! I'll
like
give you the
recipe. Crack pot.
Actually, you do. Yeah, you cook it in there for a little bit. Absolutely, but oh man, it is so good. I'm a sucker for green when it comes to Mexican food, like green chicken burritos back
enchiladas,
in the day. Enchiladas, I meant. Oh
verde
my God,
salsa.
Yeah,
give me the green over the red.
100% every day of the week.
Ugh.
I'll take a little of the green stuff, please. Who's the green kid? But no, I love good Mexican food, man. But that the breakfast burritos are good, but that second one with the green sauce.
It's always like called like the verde burrito or whatever it is. Like it's like bean. It's always that's only like really the only thing I eat pinto beans in. It's just like, but man, breakfast burrito. Like the mixed breakfast burrito, hash brown burrito from Abuelito's or whatever.
It's so good.
Try to tell you.
You did.
Smash.
Every time it's a virus. Once you get it, you're like, you got any more of those?
You got to go back. Yeah.
It's good.
Those were those breakfast tacos in Texas, man. Fresh tortillas. The ladies would roll them out, cook the tortilla as you ordered, hot tortilla. And my favorite, and you're going to laugh and you're going to go gross, but try it. I promise you. Bean and bacon in a fresh tortilla.
Oh, I'm sure it's fantastic.
With green salsa.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yes.
Absolutely. Fresh homemade tortilla, refried beans, really thick cut bacon, and some green salsa.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Just do like pork belly.
Oh, my God. Well, this was in the 90s. That didn't exist. It was bacon or something. We've advanced ourselves in food.
You want some of the green or some of the yellow?
That's exactly right.
I'll do the yellow.
Yeah.
Don't get cheap on me. Let me ask you guys this question. I want you to answer it honestly, Mac, and I want you to answer it honestly, Bob, and I don't want any bias. I don't want any homerisms. I don't want any negativity. I want it straight from the bottom of your heart right here. Okay. Are the Royals going to make the playoffs this year, yes or no?
Not the way it's going right now, no. And I say that because I still think they're good enough to make the playoffs.
Okay.
I still think there's moves to be made. They're going to have to overspend. The Athletics reporting, they're going to have to give up one of their top catchers if they want anything back in return.
So Blake Mitchell?
Yep. Yeah, the Athletic is reporting today. They're like the 20 things I'm hearing about the trade deadline, and it says for the Royals. The Royals are shopping for corner outfield help and realize they'll probably have to trade either Blake Mitchell, Carter Jensen, or Ramon Ramirez to make that happen, which I'm fine with. I trade every prospect under the sun to get major league players back in return. That's what you want to do. So if they're able to land that outfield bat, I think they're going to make the postseason. Now, if they're not able to land that outfield bat sooner rather than later, and it continues to dissipate like this, and they get five games under 500, let's say, then we're having a different conversation. But the Cole Reagan's injury factors in now, and that's a big deal. You know, obviously, we don't know how long he is going to be out with that situation, but you don't want to hear rotator cuff ever.
At least three more starts.
At least, right? At least, you know.
I think he's going to be shut down until the All-Star game.
Damn.
I mean, that's... Three more starts. Yeah. That's a start every week.
Well, we're only 50 some days away from the trade deadline too. Mm-hmm. So the All-Star break is not that far away.
No, it's like a month away.
Yeah, I mean like literally a month from right now.
Let's say All-Star.
The MLB trade deadline is 50 days away. We're 50 days away from the trade deadline.
And that's the 31st, which means we're, what, 40 days away from the All-Star
basically,
game?
Yeah.
35? July 14th.
July 14th. Yeah, yeah, so we're a month away.
We're a month away. So, yeah, you're absolutely right about that. He probably won't be back till after the All-Star break, just based on common sense, right? Mm-hmm. Rehab and all that nonsense. You know, so, yeah. So, at this point in time, I don't know that I don't think they're a playoff team at this point in time. And I leave it open-ended, not because I'm trying to be a homer or anything, but because the story isn't told. And then we say they're not a playoff team, then they make the playoffs, and then Twitter goes, he said they weren't going to make the playoffs.
Well, I'll say that.
Okay. You don't think they're a playoff team right now?
I think they're painfully average in what is an elite division in an above much above average conference. So, I think they're at an uphill battle. Yeah.
I would say right now they're not. And the reason for that is because at one point you had a World Series roster in your pitching rotation, but you had a minor league lineup, as we had said on the show.
World Series rotation, minor league lineup, yep.
And when your offense got a little bit better, your pitching got worse. And now your pitching is average from what we've seen over the last nine games against St. Louis, Chicago, and New York, and Oakland comes to town Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Hopefully you get healthy.
And I will tell you this, Oakland is not good, but Oakland doesn't go away. They lose games if you take them. They will win games if you do not want them, if that makes any sort of sense. Like, Oakland, I should
say. Yes, no, that does make sense. If you don't take control of the game, they'll take it for you.
The A's will give you an opportunity with a man on second and third with nobody out in the eighth inning, and they're only up 2-1. They will give you the game right there. Now, whether you take it or not is up to you. And I don't know right now if the Royals are takers in the moment, because I get told, or I get, you know, dropped on by a lot of people, there's no fire. There's no red ass of this team. I mean, 14, it wasn't Moose at the time. Moose found out in 15 it was him. The moment just got to the point. Now, they were already in the playoffs. And the year before that, it was Raul Ibanez. He was the one that was like, all right, enough of this. I'm older. I'm a veteran. I've seen this. I'm going to tell you guys right now, you're better than this.
Teams are scared of you, you know?
And, you know, you hear last night, Denny Matthews says, hey, what Jazz Chisholm did is what Jazz Chisholm can do. You don't let him win. You just ignore it. And look, Denny can say whatever he wants about baseball. I'm going to listen and I'm going to agree. But I can also disagree with things. And I think last night was... Now, again, I'm not saying that they should have first pitched Jazz Chisholm. I would have loved it. I'm not against it, is what I'm saying. But eventually, you have to do that, right? Like, eventually, George McFly had to punch Biff in the mouth. Mm-hmm. Or he wasn't going to get the girl, he wasn't going to get the respect, and he wasn't going to get the career. Eventually, you've got to get out there, and whether it's a player in your locker room, whether it's a manager on your roster, whether it's a moment in a game where somebody gets hit, it's irrelevant they get hit, but they throw the bat down and they come on, whatever it is, that's got to be shown, because you're 500, you're getting the absolute blank kicked out of you by the Yankees. Now I've lost seven in a row, and this was Vern last night when it came to the Royals and the Yankees and where he's at, because he's had enough.
Man, that was embarrassing. This has been embarrassing. The whole thing's been embarrassing, and I'm talking about playing the Yankees. Seven straight losses to the New York Yankees. Outscored by 18 runs. You know, boo Jazz Chisholm all you want. Where's the lie? What did he say that was untrue? Booing Jazz Chisholm while Anthony Volpe's punk behind... It's embarrassing because you were outplayed in every single facet of the game. Not just tonight, not just last night, but the three-game series in the Bronx a few months ago, the final two games of the DS last year. It's every single facet of the game. They're clearly better. You can't say otherwise. You want to, I want to. You can't. Better bullpen, better rotation, better defense, better at running the bases, better at the dish, more power. But they're just better. A lot better.
And again, the Yankees are the standard in the American League.
They are.
I know they don't have the best record, but they were the team that represented the AL in the American League last year. They look like they're en route to do that again. You look at what the Chiefs do, they're that team, right? They are the standard. You want to be that good. You want to be a playoff team. You got to do things that they do. You can't have mishaps. You can't have unforced errors. You can't have runners left in scoring position be the number seven and the number in front of that is zero. So I don't know if it is a roast of the team in the locker room. I don't know if it is milk and cookies. I don't know if it's,
start drinking tequila and stop drinking milk and cookies.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if it's that, but I know something's got to happen and I'm no expert. And again, I'll continue to watch because it's baseball and I love it. And I think a lot of you should, because if you're going to have things to say about them or you want to see things change, then you got to see for an example for yourself. And I think with this team, somebody's got to do it. I don't know who that is. You have your options and the people who you think might be able to be that guy, but it was once Raul Ibanez. I don't think they need to have a retaliation like Vernon said there, but they need to have a come to team moment in that locker room when somebody's got to be the voice leader.
Yeah, and you only get one opportunity to do this, right?
Correct.
Because if people who yell and scream, okay, it eventually wears thin. You've worked with people before that yell and scream all the time. You tune them out, right? You're like, all right, enough.
You lose respect.
You lose a lot of respect, right? But if it's somebody who's calm all the time and switches like that, whoa, that has an effect. That's like, holy cow, that we pushed it this far that this guy got mad. It's like at home when I get mad, I'm the cool father, right? I'm the cool parent.
But the kids know when dad's serious.
Right, exactly. They know their mother's the disciplinarian and and they come, they try to, oh, can we go? Sure. And my wife's like, I told them no. I was like, son of a gun, I got played again, right? Mm-hmm. So they know that I'm that guy. Now, when I get mad, holy cow.
Yeah, there's a tone and a look.
Right. And they're like, oh, okay, maybe he's serious now. And so that's why I think there's only one person that can really do that job, and that is Salvador Perez. He's the guy that's been around the block. He's the leader. He wears the C. It is his team until it's not. And he is the guy that needs to speak out because he's seen it all. Mm-hmm. Jack Caglione can't do that. He's a nobody in that locker room right now. He's been there a week. Bobby Witt, maybe not his personality to do that right now, right? You start to look, pitchers, they really can't do that because they pitch every, fifth day or third day out of the bullpen. They're not there with the day-to-day type of stuff like these position players are. India's fairly new to the organization. Maybe Michael Garcia is that guy, but no, I think it has to come from Salvi. Salvi has to be the captain and the leader for the guy to quote unquote flip the spread and for it to matter. And if he's the guy that does that, maybe that does send a message to everybody else inside the locker room. But again, I ask this question, like, what does yelling and screaming do? Because people think all the time, and I know we've all been there, these guys just don't want it. They're not trying. These guys are busting their ass every single day. They don't want to be 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position. They don't want to hit .225 with runners in scoring position. They don't want to be on a team that is scoring more runs than just the Pirates and Rockies in baseball at this point in time. They know things aren't working. So it's not like they're not trying and they don't care and they don't want to change and they don't want to get better. It's just not working. Does yelling and flipping a spread, does that impact that? I don't know. I don't know that it's impacting that. I'd like to think your Major League Baseball players, you eventually just look in the mirror and go, I'm tired of sucking. Mm-hmm. And you take it upon yourself to get better. And it has to be individual efforts. They can yell and scream and do all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, they still have to go out there and execute. And they're not executing right now. Does Salvi getting mad and spanking them, so to speak, make them go out there and execute more? I don't know.
I just think that it's one of those things where, if you think you are a playoff team, maybe you've forgotten that. And I think sometimes people can, especially athletes, can forget what they embrace or what they actually
have. That's a really good point, Dusty.
When they get into their own sort of like down and out feelings where you do need somebody to be that guy. Not to say that I'm an athlete of any sort of matter, but I mean, there was a time where I wasn't taking college necessarily like where it should have been. I was just kind of, slacking off, going through the motions, going to the parties every Thursday night, getting lit up. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, if you have another semester like this, you're done in college and then you can figure out what you want to do. And that was one of those conversations that my stepdad never really had with me, but it was always kind of like, low tone, never really got mad, didn't do anything like that. But then this was one of those times where he's like, hey, it's up to you. Cause like either you can do it or you don't have to do it. And I was like, when he left the room, I was like, okay. Like that was serious. I need to get my life together and figure this out. Eventually it worked out in the grand scheme of things, but that's one of these situations where I think, you talk about, does it have to be somebody that doesn't, Nobody does it. So it doesn't matter who the hell goes in that locker room and gets these guys fired up, or, you know, who starts giving everybody the silent treatment. I'm up for whatever it needs to be. Like, hey, has anybody like talked to Vinny today? No, he just showed up, put his uniform on, and went to the cage, started hitting. Huh. Normally always does. Yeah, normally he does. Well, why didn't you do it today? Because maybe you've lost six of your last nine.
Yeah, this isn't normal time.
You know, maybe because, you know, yeah, the division's over. The division might be over, but guess what? The wild card could be over. And then you got to start jumping four or five teams. And then all of a sudden you become to have the conversation in the city where it's like, do they become buyers or do they become sellers?
Right. And right now they're buyers. But if this continues like this in a month, you may be a seller.
And, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there would say, well, this just isn't like Q's, you know, faux pas. He's not one of those guys. Well, what if it is? Every man has their breaking point.
Yeah.
And I understand we don't get to be in there when the times get, you know, tough. But, you know, maybe Q, the way he addresses it, maybe isn't veins out of the neck flipping tables. Maybe it's, you know, going to each and every individual and be like, you're Bobby Witt Jr., okay? Start playing like Bobby Witt Jr. You're Salvador Perez. Be a captain. Be the leader. Hit that ball. Get the hit. You know, instead of, you know, going in there and be like, F this, you know, MF and BS and all. Like, maybe that's just not how he does it. And maybe he calls out individuals one by one, or you call out your leaders, because if they get called out, then everybody else says, oh, geez, Q just called Bobby Witt out. Like, who's next? Like, if he starts there, anybody's up for grabs.
Or you reverse it and you go and you love these guys up and show them the support and say, guys, I know we're all going through it, and I'm going to catch, what do they say, more bees with honey or whatever it is than vinegar. And maybe you do the reverse, though. I mean, I never thought about that until you started talking and Q going to each guy individually. Maybe you go to each guy individually and you boost them up. And, you know, like, we've all been in those times in our lives where things aren't going great job-wise. And we've all had bosses that suck, right? And we've all had bosses that can be intimidating and mean. Did that tactic ever work with you? Because I know over the years, I've worked with bosses, and the worse they treated me, the less I wanted to do and the less I cared, right? And it gave you the anxiety of not wanting to be in that room. Now, if they come alongside of you and go, hey, man, look, I know you're struggling right now. We're all struggling together, but I got your back. I'm going to support you. We're all in this together, man. Let's get through this. Maybe that goes over better than going and yelling at these guys individually, because times have changed, right? It's not the 50s and 60s anymore where you're grabbing guys by the face mask and throwing them down in football and, you know, kicking them in the nuts and all that kind of stuff. Maybe coming alongside of them and giving them that positive reinforcement is what these guys need at this point in time. And maybe Q's the guy who has to, or maybe Salvi's the guy that does that and goes around and goes, guys, hey, we're all in this together. We know it's not working right now, but we got to have each other's backs on this one. If you got my back, I got your back, and we'll figure this thing out together. And maybe that's the route you take.
I don't know. Something's got to change. Something's got to pick up. Something's got to go. Because they just a little lifeless right now. It's like, darn, we lost again. Well, we almost came back in the ninth last night. Yeah, you didn't.
No. Nobody's saying that, are they?
I mean, I watched the entire game.
But nobody's saying they almost came. It was 6-2.
It's 6-3. But yeah, like, I'm just big. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But like, I'm just
6-0 going
away. Yeah. But it's just like, yeah, it's 6-0. It was 10-2.
Yeah.
Like, eventually, you hate getting your ass kicked. You're right. Eventually, it's like, enough of this, you know.
But that's got to be on them. It really does.
I'm totally there. But I also think it takes somebody to be a leader like that. I think that takes somebody to get in there and get a little fired up.
But this is also kind of the norm when it comes to sports, though, too. Like, you have this really good year, and then sometimes you take a step back before you realize that success. And maybe this is the year that the Royals take a little bit of a step back, and then this offseason they can go out and retool and get the bat that they need and, you know, whatever else they need to do to clean things up, and then they really take off the next year. And so sometimes, you know, that happens in sports. We've been very spoiled with our two teams in town, with the Chiefs and the Royals, doing it the way that they've done it, where they went to the World Series, then the World Series. And then the Chiefs went to the Super Bowl and the AFC Championship game every year. Like, we're living in an abnormal world. The average sports team has a good year, will take a step back, regroup, because sometimes guys do get a little bit full of themselves. Oh, we've arrived and all this kind of stuff. League adjusts to you. You got to figure it out. So this may be their step back year. And then next year, that's the year they really take off.
Speaking of taking off, this guy took off when it comes to the greatest of all time. Come on now. Plus, don't forget, We've already gotten three. Today we have a fourth qualifier. We get five, and one of you are selected to win $500 as a gift card to Hy-Vee for Father's Day. So who is the best of all time? One's already ranked. Apparently they have one good year.
Unbelievable.
And the other side is you're a qualified option to be in the Hy-Vee gift card for $500 for Father's Day. We'll do all that next on Fesco and Dusty. 96.5 The Fan, you're home. Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey with you as well. Hey, by the way, some positive. Jack Caglione has a 4-game hitting streak.
Smash.
Even though we've got somebody in the text line, he can't play right field. He sucks. He's not supposed to be in right field. He's supposed to be the future. Relax. He's just fine. And yes, he's not supposed to be a right fielder. He's supposed to help out until you get a right fielder. He will probably be a first baseman slash DH. And he's played really good first base. So I'll make a diving catch. I mean, that guy could literally like kick me in the shin and I'd be like, what a kick. But either way.
Oh my God, there is one survivor in the Air India crash that walked away. Have you guys seen the video of this plane crashing this morning?
I've seen some of this, yes.
Have you seen the plane crash video yet?
No.
Try not to.
I don't know that I've ever seen anything like it. Air India trending. There was a plane crash. Over 200 are dead. It was leaving India flying to London, and it takes off and is into a huge explosion. And then they said there's one person that walked away unscathed from that crash. They're calling them the miracle survivor, obviously, of this flight. And they're actually interviewing the person on the news in India right now. But, I mean, the explosion of this plane – Did you see that?
That's devastating.
Oh my God.
Okay, well, on a positive note, we have qualifiers for Hy-Vee $500 gift card. We have given away three. We will give away another one today when we do our famous father, because you could get a $500 gift card if you are one of the qualifiers selected for Father's Day. Clue number one, Bob, is
father of three.
There you go. So you should be familiar with how we've done this. We will give you two more clues. Mac will give you clue two. I'll give you a third clue, and then you can call it Mac and be caller number.
Let's go nine.
Okay. Nine.
Caller number nine.
All right.
Caller number nine today. That's right. But it was interesting. We saw this article. Best running back of all time, Saquon Barkley. No? Okay. Bob's out.
Bob's leaving.
Took one season, won a Super Bowl, didn't even win Super Bowl MVP. And according to this, what are we doing here?
The greatest of all time.
Mm-hmm.
The man who couldn't stay healthy for half the seasons that he's played, right?
Mm-hmm.
Had a great year. Nobody's discrediting that at
all.
Historical year. Nobody is discrediting that at all. But to say he's the greatest of all time, that's ignorant.
And it's not like experts are saying that. There are people that would say that he, you know, from what he did last year, greatest running back of all time, question mark. Now, to give context, like he says he wants to be the greatest of all time, but he never will be the greatest of all time. I mean, guys like Eric Dickerson, Earl Campbell, Adrian Peterson, unfortunately he is dead in a murder, O.J. Simpson, those guys were like way far away. And I'm not even getting into
Barry Sanders.
Or LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah. Walter Payton.
Yeah.
Eddie George. I don't know about that. That's just a real
deep
pull.
There, yeah,
he's up there.
Really good.
Ohio State.
Yeah, no, he's legit.
Eddie George is
in
legit
conversation. I mean, I don't even know that Saquon Barkley is the best of today.
He's not the best I've seen in my 26 years of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so no, I think it's ridiculous to say that, you know, he is the best of all time. But again, as Ben Maller kind of talked about with us, it's recency bias. It's what we do now in sports. Guy had a great year. He must be the greatest of all time. But, you know, he's probably headed for a downfall. And Ben sent us these stats from fantasy running backs the next year after they had a year like this, right? And like DeMarco Murray in 2014 went into the year as the second best runner running back.
What a guy he was in fantasy then.
Finished as the 15th best running back. Uh-huh. Yep. Eddie George.
That's Dallas.
In the year 2000, goes in as the number 3 best running back, finishes the year as the 21st best running back.
He got hurt because he was on the cover of Madden.
These are all guys Adam who Curse, had about Barkley. 436 calories. Carries like Saquon Barkley. Yeah. Sean Alexander in 05. Remember how good he was that year? Broke Priest-Holmes records for the touchdowns and all that? He had 430 carries. He went from running back 1 to the following year running back 30.
He got hurt too because he was on the cover of Madden.
Larry Johnson.
And 430 carries.
Larry Johnson, 429 carries in 06. Mm-hmm. Running back 3 that year. Dropped running back 40 the following year.
He got paid that year too.
He did. Mm-hmm. Jamal Lewis, 412 carries. Running back 15 in 2000. Next year, did not play.
Mm-hmm. Got hurt.
Edgerrin James in the year 2000, 408 carries. Was the number 2 running back. The next year, running back 33.
The thing I will say about...
So he's destined, based on history, and to have a fall off.
And to give some sort of respect to that, to give Saquon Barkley, 2021, right? Because actually we'll go 2019. He had 1,000 yards rushing. 2020, 34 yards rushing. 2021, 593 yards rushing. 2022, 1,300. 2023, 900. Last year, obviously, the 2,000, right? Great year last year.
Mm-hmm.
But it would seem that every time he's had a good year, the next year falls.
Correct.
Like when you're saying, good year, down year, good year, down year. Now everybody could be Derrick Henry, who's better than Saquon Barkley.
All time,
and
exactly.
And will be better.
Yeah. Derrick Henry he's currently is. I mean, he's a current running back that is better than Saquon Barkley.
All time? Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
So we can't even, like, you can't make the case that Saquon's the best when he's not even the best of his year, like not even the best guy playing at this time,
no.
Right? You know,
nope.
So I mean, we just get so far ahead of ourselves, and we want we want the finished answer for everything, no matter what it is in life, right? Like I'll bring the stadium thing back up. We all want the final answer to the stadium today, right? A lot of times these things take time. Saquon Barkley's story has not been written yet. I think we're closer to the end of his story than we are the beginning of his story, obviously. But his story has not been written yet. Let's worry about putting back-to-back seasons together for Saquon Barkley before we crown him the best of all time. Because the best of all time does it on a consistent level, at a high level, for a very long time. And in sports, what's that, 5, 7, 8, 10 years? Then you can kind of talk about being the best of all time. Saquon Barkley had a great year. Best of all time is a little ridiculous.
Clue number 2, Mac, is...
Clue number 2 for our Hy-Vee gift card qualifiers of Father's Day. Very tight group of friends.
Clue number 1 Bob gave us was...
Father of 3.
You gave us...
Has a very tight group of friends.
There you go. We'll get to clue number 3 here in just a second. Somebody says in the 816, Saquon is on a completely different planet than anyone you've mentioned. Give me Barkley over Henry.
You wouldn't have said that a year ago. Absolutely would not have said that over a year ago. If we were having this conversation in June of 24, you would not have said that. I guarantee it, because Saquon Barkley was a good running back. He played for the Giants. It wasn't anything special. Oh, he's going to the Eagles. Whoop-dee-doo. He had a great year. You wouldn't have been saying that last year. Absolutely 100% not. And if you think you would have been, you're lying to yourself, because nobody would have taken Saquon Barkley over Derrick Henry last year.
I wouldn't take Saquon Barkley with the first pick of running backs in this next year's NFL fantasy.
You go to Cam Scataboo.
Nah, that's like your Uncle Leo that's going to have like a couple, you know, cutlets before he eats.
Yeah.
There's something on the floor there, Leo. That's just sauce. That's good luck sauce.
Mm-hmm.
I can see your stomach sticking out of your shirt. Hey, they run a little small.
Anthony's lining it up to take him.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the number one running back I would take in a fantasy draft next year would be, if I had the first pick ticket for running back, I would take Jahmyr Gibbs. I just love it. First off, more than half his games are in a dome, so weather's irrelevant. So that's the nerd part of me taking over for fantasy. Two.
Makes a big difference, though.
It does, man. Like,
no, it really does. I mean, running on a dome field in December versus Arrowhead?
Yeah. I mean, it just, I don't know. And their offense is literally based around a two-headed running back scheme. And
that's why I wouldn't take him. Yeah.
That's why you wouldn't take
that's
him.
And
that's a good
tackle.
Oh, you
yeah.
would.
That's why I would not take him.
Would not
him.
Take
yeah.
him.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
yeah.
you're right about that, because it's
yeah.
two-headed.
Two running backs.
But the
yeah.
other thing is the fact that it's like he just makes up for in the receiving game, because they don't really pass the ball to Dave Montgomery. Whereas Jahmyr Gibbs, if they're in the middle of a dogfight, because their defense isn't holding their own, he's going to get 3 or 4 just check down passes that are going to go for whatever. Plus, he's the home run hitter. So I don't know. I just really love him when it comes to.
Yeah, everybody's got their own biases, yeah, but sure. I think we can all agree that Saquon Barkley is not the greatest running back.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Of all time.
No, but we do this. We have one more qualifier tomorrow, our second to last one today for the winner to be selected for a $500 Hy-Vee gift card for Father's Day. Bob, clue one was?
Father of three.
Matt, clue two was?
Tight group of friends.
Clue three is works at a brewery.
Binkley.
Yeah. So call Matt, caller number nine, has a chance to be a qualifier for a winner selected for a $500 Hy-Vee gift card on Father's Day. Coming up on the other side, we hit the 9 o'clock hour. We dive back into what was the stadium stuff that passed yesterday in Missouri and what it means moving forward. A lot of words, not a lot of results. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.